Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a great chapter on the Word of God and the love of God's Word. It's referred to as precepts and judgments and law in this book. And tonight, we're looking at just one portion of it where we're talking about a quiet time and the strength that God can grant and give from a quiet time. Matter of fact, I made a note, what if the strength we receive is in proportion to our quiet time? Did I say it to where you can receive it? To where, what if you have no quiet time, no strength? A lot of quiet time, a lot of strength. What if it's in proportion to the strength? Now, how many would agree we certainly need a lot of strength to live for God today? In this crazy day that we live in, and it's going to continue. It looks like to me that it continues on this downhill cycle, and so we need this strength to be the light and to stand for the Lord in the day that we live in. Stand with me. I'm going to read one verse, have prayer, and then I'll let you be seated and read. Just kind of put this thought together here. And remember these marks in the Bible. If you look at Psalm 119 and verse 97, see that little mark? It says mim, a little mark, that little ditto, or you know, that dot, jot, and tittle mark there? I mean, you have that in your Bible. Sometimes they just choose to take it out because they don't think it's significant. But really what it does is that mark deciphers what's the topic about, and it means this, it means water. And it means importance of watering. Well, water brings growth. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to find out something. We're going to find out, where did David get his water or his strength or his growth from? And this portion of Psalm has where David got his strength to be the mighty David that we read about in Scripture. And for our primary text, you know, it's fitting right in with the section. This first verse in verse 97 gives the introduction to what lies in the next verses down to verse 104. And so that gives us the introduction. It says, oh, how love I thy law, what? Exclamation point. And so, you know, God puts that in there. You got to have real good glasses to see that. If you got a real small print Bible, you don't see that little important mark there. But David getting excited about it. It is my meditation all the day. That's the key to David's victory right there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we do bow before you. We bring our prayers here tonight that we've asked that would be a sweet sacrifice rising up to heaven tonight. We pray that, God, our prayers would have been a magnitude tonight that literally, it would shake the foundation of our world for the cause of Christ. We know that, Father, that you are the multitude. And so help us tonight to look to you as the Lord of hosts. As we have prayed to you and asked you for great and mighty things, we bring our brothers and sisters that are battling the flu this time of year. We bring the needs of those that are about to expire, Father, and humanly speaking, look like they're about to step in front of you in just moments of time. And we pray that they would be ready. We pray that your grace would sustain them. Pray for those that are around them and gathered around them to encourage them, to strengthen them. And we just pray for your perfect will. We pray this week you give us wisdom as we deal with a lot of hurt and pain. We pray for our fair outreach. And God, that you would help us to plant seeds, till the soil that's out in this world today again, fresh and anew, and then water and see a harvest, Father, of your making. And we thank you for those that would take time on a Wednesday to bow their heads before you and lift to a great God. And we would ask you to help us tonight as we learn about David through the psalm and learn about what he did to have victory and strength in his life. And so help us as we think about this importance of this quiet time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I can tell you one thing about a quiet time. I tell you, we have one arch enemy that'll do everything he can to beat us out of having a quality quiet time. And I put my emphasis on quality. It's not about quantity. It's not about rushing. It's not about in a hurry. It's about some quality time that we spend with God and give that time to Him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's read down through the rest of this psalm. We see this verse 97, you know what that is? That's David's life. That's what that is. That's David's life. In verse 98, it says, though through the commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So they're always, they're constant, they're perpetual. And David learned how to get victory over his enemies. How many like to have that? Victory over your foes. Amen. And not that God eliminates them. God gives you victory right in their presence. David had that victory. And then we see in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You want to be wise? Spend time in the Word of God. The Book of Wisdom. 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I kept thy precepts. Otherwise, he was young and he was wise. You don't have to be just old and wise, though that should go together, but you can be young and wise. How? Spending time in the Word of God. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And here we have David's worship, you know, and his prayer against wickedness. And so God gave David great deliverance, and it's because David was an obedient servant of God. And so victory comes through obedience here. So he's in the Word of God. He's obeying what God tells him to do. Let's go on, verse 102. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. There's that exclamation point again. So the Word of God ought to be sweet to the saved. Now, you know, I noticed today we were talking. I don't know what you ladies ended up with, but I watched people today and at the fair, and we have one section, and we have Bibles for the veterans, and if they're a veteran, they can take a Bible, they can have a New Testament, or they can have the whole Bible. It's marked military. It's especially designed just for the military. But I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about how many people at the fair are willing to walk around with a Bible in their hand. Yeah, that's something. That's something. Today I went down to commercial see Miss Pam, but I didn't have a New Testament on me, but I had my Bible. I had this Bible right here, so I walked in there with this Bible. It's amazing when you walk into a hospital or place that with a big Bible, the attention you get. I mean, everybody just stops and kind of looks, and it's like, oh, you have the Bible. And you think there that wouldn't be as, you know, you think there, you know, people would kind of be wise to that because you're dealing with all death that hospice care is. People, in order to get there, they've, you know, you're talking about people who are passing away. And so you think that would be paramount there. But let alone at the fair. And so sometimes I think people, just having the Bible out there was intimidating to just people in general. The Word of God has that. It's amazing, isn't it, what the Bible will do. But anyway, to the Christian, it's different. To the Christian, it should be what David said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. If I was going to expire, the greatest thing you can do is give me some verses on the Word of God. Something that's going to help me on the other side. Read to me 1 Corinthians 15. Tell me about my new body. I like that. Especially when the old one's about to give up the ghost. Nice to hear about that, what's going to happen on the other side. Read to me Psalms 23, is that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, read to me that I'm not alone, that family can hold your hand here. But God, it doesn't mean that no one's holding your hand there. God takes you through that valley. Remind folks that about the Word of God. There's sweetness about the Word of God. Remind them about eternity. And so David told us where his food was. His food was in the Word of God. And then it was, he said, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And there again, there's an exclamation point. I got the idea David gets excited about some things. You know, exclamation points aren't put in there just because they're for yawns. They're put in there because they're excited about something. And God's allowing his spirit to come through. So it was his food. And he was glad to let people other people know what his food was. Then 104 says, through my precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So David was a man who didn't like deceit and didn't like untruthfulness, untruth and things. And so that ought to be what we desire. We're connoisseurs for the truth. David had strength. David had wisdom. David had insight. Where and how did he get it? Well, we know this. He got it from God, of course. That's the general answer. He got it from God. But literally, he got it from time with God. And we know this. I hope we know this. We learned some things that as you spend time with God, you know, Christianity, listen to me, is more than do's and don'ts. It's more than just don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You'll not grow by do's and don'ts. I'll tell you how you grow. You grow by relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. You grow by not by the letter of the law, which we'd call legal law, but you grow by the love of the law, or the love of God of the law. We grow by that. So we grow by fellowship. Now we learned a couple weeks ago, we learned that when you grow and you know God, you learn something about God, you'll fall in love with God. David was a man who fell in love with God. Because he fell in love with God, then he could trust God. Because he knew he was trustworthy. He knew that nobody cared for his soul like God cared for his soul. So he trusted him. And trusting him, then when God asked him to do something, he stepped out and obeyed God. So he was obedient. Now, if we don't have obedience, because we don't have trust. If we don't have trust, it's because we don't love God. If we don't love God, it's because we don't know him. So David spent time in his word to fellowship and understand with God that sweet communion. Quiet time is fellowship time with God. And you get it, and you're communing with him. You're getting to know him, kind of like our Sunday night service, you know, communion. And communing with him. You're fellowshipping with him. No wonder the devil wants to beat us out of time with God. Because as we spend time with God, something happens deep inside our soul that you can't just put into words. It enables us to step into situations. So, yes, why did David have strength and wisdom and insight? Well, God. Second, because he had quiet time in those fields and in song and in meditation and in his thought. David would take some time away from people, isolation, and just spend some time with God. 10,000 don'ts will not make up for loving God and knowing God. Otherwise, following 10,000 rules of don't does not bring you closer to God. Spending time with God brings you closer to God. And so, you know, the first thing that I want to emphasize here is simply this, and it's just time. In order to have quiet time, you have to have time. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen people who have no job, have had no job, and have no time. At church, they'll tell me, listen, preacher, we come to church, we don't have time. I'm thinking, nobody's working. You don't have time for God? No one's. What would happen if you worked? I never see you. And so, obviously, what happens is we have to make time for our priorities. Can I get an amen there? We have to have that time. And we just have to make it. Well, out of all priorities, I'll tell you one of the things that's most important, and this is just time for God. This is our quiet time. We can't have strength without that time, and the devil knows it. He knows that we can follow a list. You know, I don't know if you know what a military church is. I'm not talking about a military corporal, and I'm not talking about, you know, different rank of real military. I'm talking about a dictator. Some people go to a dictator church, and here's why. Because if they follow their rules, the dictator tells them they're spiritual. I don't know if you've ever been in a church like that, but I'd call them dictators. And it's not about the rules, as I've mentioned. And so there has to be that time where we spend with God to get the strength, to get the wisdom, to get the insight. I'll tell you one thing that it'll do. It'll give us insight on the devil who's out to destroy our soul and our family and the world today. And so it'll open our eyes to those things. No wonder he wants to beat us out of that. Now, you know, not always the sharpest guy on the block, but I learned something in life. I learned that sharpening the axe before chopping the wood is worth it. Now, if you've never chopped wood, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I've literally seen an axe bounce off of a piece of wood. I'll tell you where that same axe, if it was sharpened, would just cleave into it and throw splinters, you know, everywhere. It's worth taking time. Now, this is a simple analogy of this quiet time. That we have to take time for this first. This time, I kind of look at this like this. In order, if you're going to chop wood, the first thing you should do is get an axe and you should sharpen it. Make sure it's sharp. Not chop wood and then think, I'll sharpen it at the end of the day. How about this? You're going to take a trip. You're going to take a trip, but you're going to go ahead and take the trip, and then later you'll look at the map. After the vacation, you'll look at the map. Is it better to look at the map first? Get an idea where you're going, where you're headed, you know? And so, listen, that is what quiet time is, but that's also insightful for when to have the quiet time. Are you getting it? That maybe the first thing in the day is important to us to have that quiet time. Now, you have to figure out how you wake up. You got to have that quiet time. I heard a guy about going to the closet, and they opened the door, and here's what they heard. That's snoring, in case you don't know. Sound asleep in the closet. Well, you know, no circulation, dark. And so it's more than that. And so have that time. But, you know, get yourself going a little bit. We'll give them the best part. Whatever that is, the best part of when you're alert and give God. It's better to give him 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, than it is to rush out without sharpening the axe, without taking the map, and just driving wherever you're going to go and hope you end up the right place. Take a moment. And so I find in my life, if I'll do that, my day goes better just about no matter what I face. And when I don't do that, I find it's more like chopping wood without being sharp. Oh, I'm trying, and I hear it hit, but I hear more of a thump than a cut. And then you just keep thumping on it, but not really chipping a lot of wood. I like it to one guy. He said this, he's kind of like a steam engine. That's kind of how I am. You know, I don't wake up just pulling a big load. But I kind of get up ahead of steam. You know, by the end of the day, my engines are running good. And, you know, I got a full load that I can pull. And so I'm more like that. Anybody like that? You know, otherwise I'm not Mr. Morning person. But, you know, you just kind of find a time where you're alert and awake and you can have a quality time. A little quality time is better than a lot of unquality time. And so start with whatever you can get. Start with something. Can I get an amen? Have it. Find it. Find that time. Mark it as important. One of the most important things. Anybody share with me what's really, really important? It's something that you're determined you're going to do every day. Anybody got something? You're just going to do it every day. It's just something you're going to do every day. How many of this? How many say, I'm going to brush my teeth every day? How many think that's a good idea? How about this? I'm going to have deodorant on every day. I'm trying to do that, yeah? All right? And so some things you do every day. How about this? Most days I'm going to look in the mirror before I go out into public. How many of you do that? You like to find stuff. You know, obviously, you know, looking at a nice sharp-looking crowd, looks like everybody had to be in a mirror somehow today, somewhere. Or we show it. You know, I was walking with somebody the other day, and I said this. I said, I'm going to do you a favor. Because apparently nobody else has done this favor to you. What? I said, you have black all the way across your whole nose. She said, thank you. I said, I figured you'd want to know that since you're all day you're talking to people. You know, and so you it's kind of embarrassing. But if I had black across my nose, I'd want somebody to tell me rather than just staring at me and thinking, he has black on his nose. You know, you don't know how long you had on there or anything. So Number one is this: time. It's worth it. Take the time. Find the time. I'm kind of selfish tonight because I know there's benefits in you growing stronger. It's kind of, you know, kind of selfish because it's going to benefit me. It's going to benefit because you're going to pray for your pastor. And you know me. You know I need all the prayer I can get. And you're going to be a better prayer warrior. You're not only going to be a better person at work, at play, whatever you do, but you're going to be more effective helping other people, including your church and your pastor. Second, and it may sound common, but I just give you some things that helps. And the second one is this: preparation. Preparation. Prepare for that quiet time. You know, in your bathroom, which seems to be, that seems to be our theme a little bit. In the bathroom, how many have a comb in there? Yeah, you know what? How'd that comb get there? And when it's missing, who do you blame? But how many of you have a comb you want somebody? Don't mess with it. Leave it there. Anybody have a comb like that? That's my comb. It should be right there. Anybody have a comb like that? You know, and so, you know, that you know what you've done? You prepared for the morning. I don't know about you. I usually iron my shirts. And one of the things I usually do, not always, but I iron it the night before. Why? Because I'm not the best ironing in the morning either. And I have a tendency to say, I hate to tell you that I did this, but I have a, if I had to, I'd just iron the front and put my suit coat on. If I had to, do what I had to do. I'd rather have that shirt all ironed. But you know, if you're on the clock and you got to be somewhere at a time, you cannot get out of that. You have to do what you have to do. Or I look on the rack and I think, oh, pick the best one and go for it. Of course, none of you would do that. It's much better prepare, isn't it? I find it's much easier on me, much more relaxing for me to prepare whatever. Well, spiritually, same thing. Preparing spiritually. Taking some time. What is preparing spiritually? Well, it's this. You know, one thing, I need to make sure I'm alert. That's helpful, isn't it? You're talking to somebody, you want them awake. I'm going to vote for that. You know, you kind of want them. So I have to be that way. I have to kind of be alert, kind of get the cobwebs out of my head, which usually I function better, you know, if I have a drink of water, I clean up a little bit, and, you know, eat breakfast, and then quiet time. That's good for me. It's kind of my, you know, but I prepare for it. I know what it takes for me to get up and get running and functioning a little bit, clean up. That and the cleanup, you know, we think first thing you get up, you know, maybe you clean your face a little bit, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you're cleaning up a little bit. Okay, well, spiritually we do the same thing. I guess we call it confession. Now, you're going to go before a holy God. And so approaching a holy God, it's nice to go ahead and, you know, confess up a little bit so that you're ready. So, you know, when you can look at God and you desire to be with God. When Adam and Eve sinned, did they desire to be with the Lord? No, they ran from the Lord. So sin will cause us not to seek His face, but confession will cause us, I want some fellowship with the Holy God. I need Him today. I want to draw close to Him, and I want Him to draw close to me. So this is part of preparation. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Then, you know, the Bible talks about girding up the loins of your mind. That's part of cleaning up. Girding up the loins means you're ready for action. You've confessed up, and you're ready to go before the Lord. That's part of the preparation time. When I think about preparation time, I think it's good for us to have some tools in that time. You know, for example, one of the things that would be nice in preparation for that time would be nice to have your Bible. Let me just say, be nice to have your Bible. I mean, that's a big part of this quiet time is your Bible. Now, not only that, but I think there's some things important, and you can disagree with me. It's not like I got this thing you know, figured out exactly, but I would get a Bible that's big enough for you to read easily. Not one where you squint, or if you wanted to underline, you couldn't tell if you underlined it wrong, you just crossed out a word in the Bible because you had no room to do anything, but someone big enough to where you can see it, read it easy, You can underline it. You can make a note. By the way, thinking of that preparation, I would have a pen. And I would have paper on the side. You know, I preached messages from people's devotions before. I've wept. People gave me their devotion. They call it journalism. They gave me their devotion. They went through book by books in the Bible. Every verse, there was there each day they studied that verse, wrote down what God gave them, journaled it. I literally wept reading it. My name, by the way, was every day on that list. That was humbling to me. Every day on that list, they took time. They had a list. They're going to pray for the preacher. You can see why I covet this. I was right on there. You know, I covet it. So preparation is you're alert. Preparation is you're cleaned up. Preparation is you have a Bible. You have a pen. You have paper. When God gives you something, you're going to write it down. Let's confess. How many, God's given you something, but you forgot what it was? And so, you know, and I you know, some of these things that I've woken up middle of the night, and I think, man, I'm going to write it down. I know me. I'm going to write it down right now. I mean, there's been times I've been thinking about it in bed, and in bed I'm just like, yeah! Boy, is that good! In the morning I wake up and think, what was that all about? Boy, it was good. I wish I could remember what it was. And sometimes the palest ink, I don't know who said this, the palest ink is mightier than the mightiest memory. And the palest ink, you know, something down, you have it down and you can recall that thought. That's part of the preparation when you think about that. And jot that thing down and put some things there. Now, you know, so you're preparing. Maybe you want a place, you got your tools out there, you got your equipment as you're preparing, you got your Bible, you got some markers, you got some paper. Maybe you want a study Bible, you know, something compare scripture, a reference. Maybe it's a computer where you can, a dictionary, you can find words real easy. Dictionaries are very easy today, and I encourage you to get one. You can get a Webster dictionary and put it on your computer. What is that, 1826? Dictionary, and you can just look up a word like that and get a good definition, a Bible verse. It's pretty quick, pretty easy to do that, because sometimes we have a tendency to jump over words if we don't know what they are. And, you know, sometimes when you find out what that word, it opens up the whole verse, tell you what that word means. And so you're not going to just zip through it. You're going for some quality time, right? If somebody comes to see you, would you rather have them come and just have some quality time with you? Now, you know, I'll tell you a secret about me and my wife. When I'm with her, I want her to be with me. How's that? I'm selfish. Like I say, now just forget everything. You're with me. you're just me and you, you know, and some me and you time. Well, I think that's what we need to do with God. And not be, you know, not to worry about things. Now, you know, so prepare. Have some time. I'm just telling you, the devil doesn't want us to have time with God. And there's benefit. There's growth and strength and insight and wisdom with that. Now, so here you are. You set aside a time. You're preparing. You have your Bible. You have maybe a dictionary. You have your pen. You have your notebook. You have some markers. You're ready to go. And you're thinking about now as you're praying and God gives you something. Now you know there's going to be a devil try to steal your mind from things. That's why it's important to girding up your mind. The devil's going to steal something. But you know what else can happen in that time? God could be speaking to you. You could be speaking to God about your subconscious, and something in that subconscious. You know, you're bothered with somebody at work. Of course, nobody's ever bothered with anybody at work. You know, bring that before God. Say, God, you know that person, they're bothering me. Bring it before God. That's not the devil. Your heart's communing is a problem, and take that problem to God. Now, you know, I think there's something in being audible with God. Otherwise, when you speak sometimes, and I know God knows the utterance of our hearts, aren't we glad? We don't have to always have words, but I do think there's something about words. Otherwise, you could have words because you're by yourself. You found a place. A place of isolation. I believe that's what the closet is. It's a place of isolation, a place where you can go and spend some quality time with God. Well, and I close with this. And it's simply this. It's the place. Find that place where you can be isolated. Find it. And I emphasize isolation. And I emphasize it's more than a closet. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, it says, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And that verse in Matthew was about, don't be like the hypocrites who pray before everybody. Now God says this, what you ask in secret, he will reward us openly. The closet, though, did Jesus have a closet? No, but did he have isolation? And that's, so that's what a closet means. It means a place where you go, you're isolated, and you're putting out the cares of the world, the distractions of the world, visual things that take your mind off of God, audible things that call you away from the things of God. It's just amazing. As soon as you try to find a place, you know, the phone will ring, then somebody will knock on the door, you know, the email comes in, the cell phone goes, I mean, everything. The dog's got to go out. Everything happens when you try to have that quiet time. So you got to find a place of isolation. And the more children you have, probably the harder that is. But find some place. If you have to go to the bathroom, you know, and say, don't worry, I'm going to be on the throne for 20 minutes. No one knocks on the door, you know, do what you have to do, but find a place. But it's better, and I always try to find a crack, a cranny somewhere in your house where you can put a desk and have, you know, get your Bible there and a dictionary and your pen and your paper, and you can prepare for that quiet time. Sometimes I've used basements, found a place in the basement, said, that's mine right there. When we first started the church, I had a very, very little office. I mean, it wasn't much bigger than a closet. Two people were crowded. But I liked it because it was a place that was set aside. And I, you know, and wherever I've gone, I said, listen, I don't care where it is, but I want a place where I can be alone with God. Give me somewhere, some spot, where I can just have some time of isolation, because one, everybody's going to benefit from you spending time with the Lord. And you're not only going to benefit, but everybody that knows you, everybody you're associated with, is going to be a benefit from that time. So find that place, wherever it is. Now I'm going to pick on you tonight. I'm going to pick on you. Let me ask you to bow your heads for a moment. And you ready? No one looking around, just me picking on you, me and God. But how many tonight, you can say this. You say, you have a place, an isolated place you have set aside for a quiet time with you and God. Can you slip your hand up? Let me see your hand. I'm just taking a survey. All right. You can put your hands down. All right. Many of you thank the Lord, which would probably be so, but many cannot. Now, I'm going to encourage you to find that. And if a preacher ever asked that again, you are not ducking the question. You're excited about the answer that you'll give in that time, because you know the devil's out to steal your strength and wisdom and insight. You can look up here. And discernment. I don't know where we get discernment today. It has to come from God to discern all the crazy things that's going on in the world. And I'm telling you, that time with the Lord will help. Now, just one other thing. So we've learned this. We learned that you need a time. We learned that you needed preparation. A time, find the best time. Preparation, find a place where you can be alert and have these things involved there. Take some tools and do that. And then take some time, quality time, that you are thinking about it, what God's saying to you. You're not worried about hurrying through something. You're enjoying whatever the time you have. The quality, not quantity. So, you know, you're not trying to read through your Bible. I'm not against reading through your Bible. But the idea of there is not just burning through your Bible. The idea is just spending a few moments with God. It may be a couple verses, it may be a chapter, but, you know, put some time in the Word of God. Now, I use the Word of God first because of this, simply this, that I'd rather hear from Him first before He hears from me. So do that. Then what? Guess what then? Who can tell me what then? After you set aside some time, you're alert, you found a place, you have your tools, and you're ready. Now what? Tell me the next step. What then? What'd you say? Pray. That's right. Now you're ready to pray. Now your prayer life's going to be different when you do that. It's going to be different. Start small. Don't start. Tomorrow I'm going to give you, say you don't have any. Tomorrow I'm going to give God 2 hours. Start small. Kind of like the guy who had, never had devotions with his family, decided he was going to have devotions. He set them down, little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old, preaching 45-minute messages to them. I think he's going to have some problems. Good desire, a lot of zeal, not too much knowledge. Need some growth there. All right, well, I hope that this has helped you tonight. I got excited about it because it just, anytime I get close to the Lord, draw close to Him, I want to know how. And these are some common things that's helped me, and I hope that they'll help you. Stand with me, please.